The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the right and to the left. Hallelujah. So this morning, of course, this month is our love month, you know, and February, Valentine's, and it's we are praying that we all encounter what true love really, really, really means. And today's teaching is about really that true love, Jesus, that was lifted up for us. And we are to look and live. Everyone say, look and live. So let's humble our hearts as we receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. God bless you.
Okay, let's say good morning to our neighbors. Again, with a smile. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Today we will be sharing on what we've titled Look and Live. Everyone say, look and live. And this is part one. As you know, I mean, we are always on a journey in our teachings. This is part one. Stop staring at the bite. You know, something happened to the children of Israel, which was by the Lord. Snakes broke out in their camp and was biting the people. And the people were dying. And God, and Moses, obviously, as a spiritual leader, cried out to God. And like us today, things happen in life that are like bites. They are like snake bites, if you will. They are venomous. They bite us. It could be a disappointment. It could be a job. It could be even a relationship. It could be purely spiritual. And bites happen. Bites happen to everybody. Everybody on earth will feel pain at some point. The world is broken. So bite happens, not because you are special, but because you are human. Bites will happen. And when that happens, what do? When bites happen, what do you do? So Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9, Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9, the word of God says that then the Lord told him, Moses, that if you want context, you can go back to verse 4, from verse 4, but we're going to take it from verse 8 to 9. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live. If they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed and live. And here comes the challenge. God is saying, if we will simply look. And that's a challenge for a lot of people because we want complications. When people come to God or God, they want God to intervene in a situation, we want something very complex. We don't say it, but when God actually speaks to us, either through his word or through his spirit or through people, we don't accept it because it's like it's too simple. And he's saying that anyone that simply look will live. So where you look determines how you live. Where you look determines how you live. Many times, in fact, it's where you look determines if you will live. For starters. Then it determines how you will live. But many times when we have a bite, it is natural to look where? To look down at the bite. When we have a bite, it is a natural response to look at the bite and look at the bite. But God is saying that for you to live, you need to look at Jesus. Because Jesus would say that the same way the bronze serpent was lifted up, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that anyone that looks will live. So in our time, we are to look at who? At Jesus. Because staring at the wound feeds fear. Only feeds fear. But looking at Jesus releases life. Releases life. When you get a bite, and the natural thing to do is to look at it. Of course, you will look at it. It's natural. You will look at it to dress it. You will look at it to cover it. You will look at it maybe to even pamper it, to hold it. But guess what? If you keep staring at it, it feeds fear. It feeds death. But God is saying, take your eyes off the bite and look at Jesus. If you look at him, you will live. Look and live. So the pattern this morning it's a four stream flow, basically. So the first is to name it, then lift your eyes. Then don't only lift your eyes, look. Then you will live. So name, lift, look, and leave. Everyone say name, lift, look, leave. Because many people are stuck because the problem is so big. They are stuck because they keep staring at it. Listen, before you had that problem, there are people that have had the problem before you came. And when you are gone, people will still have the same kind of problems. So why do you think it is special to you? The problem is that when we are going through a challenge, we think it's so special to us. Oh, why me? Oh, why do you have to be the one to go through this? Oh, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And we forget that God says that when you go through challenges and afflictions, you are going through what is common to man. Everybody say common to man. What is common to man? Common means what you are going through is not special. Say, but Pastor, it's so special what I'm going through. I'm going through such a difficult time, Pastor. It is a difficult time. But God is saying to you this morning, it is not special. That's the first thing you need to realize. It's not special. But mine feels special. Of course it feels special. Because that is all you have been staring at. The bite is real. But staring turns the bite into an identity. The enemy doesn't always need to destroy you. He just needs to lock your eyes on the wrong thing. I mean, if he can lock your eyes on the bite, you know what makes the bite, what makes it so powerful? It makes it so powerful because it's real. But we need to realize, and what God is saying to us is that while pain is real, is an event, but staring makes it a home. Staring makes it a dwelling. While it is an event, God is not in denial. He's not saying you should deny it. But when you keep staring, and thus you are stewing in it, Oh, I'm stewing in it. Oh, he missed my birthday. Oh, he didn't buy me, bring flowers. Oh, he didn't bring flowers. Oh, he didn't bring flowers. Oh, he didn't bring flowers. Oh, it is all about he didn't bring flowers. That's all you're going to see. Praise God. So, four moves to stop staring and start living. You talked about it. Name. Everybody say name. Lift. Everybody say lift. Look. Everybody say look. and live. Everybody say live. First, name. Name it. The bite is real. Acknowledge it. Admit it. But refuse its identity. Refuse to be defined by it. So the first thing is to name it. I used to have friends back in the day, and you know, and they're like, it's just things like, oh, I don't have an headache. Can you get me painkillers? I'm like, if you don't have a headache, why do I need to get you painkillers? They're like, no. I don't have an headache, but get me painkillers. I said, if you don't have an headache, you don't need painkillers. And they're like, don't you understand scriptures? I'm like, what are you saying? The scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. But if you don't understand that scripture, you will think God is telling you to deny your situation. But he said, let the weak say, I am what? So you must admit first that you are what? Weak. You must admit that you are weak first. Let the poor say, I am rich. So you must first admit that there's the financial situation here. And that is what, that is the missing believers, because we are in denial. And if you're in denial, you cannot move past that first stage. You have to name it. There is a bite, it's real. So we don't deny the bite. We deny its right to define us. Hallelujah. We don't deny the bite, but we deny its right to define us. Oh, I should have gotten this. I didn't get this. I was denied of this. I was cheated of this. I was robbed of this. Oh, this happened to me. It's so painful, painful. It's okay. Admit it. Name it. But deny it right to define you. People allow the pain to determine their identity. They're like, oh, that's just how it is. I just don't get lucky. Who says? Who says? You were not lucky on one instance. Or even it could be a series of instances. But that doesn't make you an unlucky person. We deny its right to define us. The bite is real, but it will not define us. Praise the name of the Lord. So the danger isn't only the bite. The danger is staring at it until it becomes an identity. It could be in your health. It could be in your education. It could be in your finances. It could be in your marriage. If you keep staring at it, if you keep staring at the problem, if that is all you wake up, you're staring at, it will define, become your identity. So the bite is real, but it is not my home. It is not my home. It could be a bite of rejection. If you check scriptures, this first two things, the first is rejection. You will see that everyone that God uses greatly experiences rejection. If you check. So now you have been rejected. In fact, the Bible defined Jesus as he was rejected of men and afflicted. The bite could be betrayal. Everybody say betrayal. Again, check scriptures. Everyone used of God will experience some deep level of betrayal. So if you've been betrayed, you feel betrayed, you feel the bite of betrayal, you are in good company. Praise the name of the Lord. The bite could be the bite of a father's wound or a mother's wound or a parent's wound. We all look up to our parents. And when your parents afflict you, it is real. It is deep. It's painful. We all draw our identities from our fathers. And if your father trashes you, it is real. It is real. But God is saying to you today, that bite is real, but look at Jesus and live. Look and live. If you are able to look at him, the bite will lose its power on you. And you will live. It could be the bite of anxiety and depression. The bite is real. You feel anxious. You feel very depressed. You feel the bite. But God is saying to you today, look and live. Look at Jesus and live. The bite could be addiction or secret sin. Something you're addicted to. You know, sometimes we judge other people while we ourselves are addicted to things. You judge people that are addicted to drugs, but you are addicted to your phone. Do you know, scientifically, it creates the same dopamine effect to your brain? The person that just needs to take a sniff to get high is the same dopamine effect to the person that you must scroll. You're just scrolling 3 hours, 4 hours. You know, it's the same. You're a junkie. While nothing is wrong with the phone, obviously, you know that already. But you can be addicted to something that is normal. In fact, I know people that were addicted to Coke. And I don't mean cocaine. I mean Coca-Cola. You must be drinking Coke. It's an addiction. And regardless of what it is, addiction keeps people limited. That's all it does. It stunts your growth to whatever it is, from Coke to cocaine, or from cocaine to Coke, or from, okay, Coke. Cocaine is also called Coke. From Coke to Coke. It's an addiction. And the addiction, it could be failure. Could be failure, or rather, the bite could be failure. You have experienced the bite of failure. You know what it is, the pain of failure. And you need to, and there's an opportunity that has opened up. You are afraid because you don't want to fail again. God is saying to you this morning, look and live. Look to Jesus and live. The bite could be a diagnosis. It could be a medical diagnosis. Look to Jesus. And what? And live. Look to Jesus and live. When you look, regardless of what the challenges are, you will live. When you look, you will live. When you look, you will live. It could be a financial bite. The bite could be a financial fear. The bite could be a financial fear. You have been beaten financially before now. And now, you are afraid. Regardless of what the bite is, when you look to Jesus, you will live. Hallelujah. So the pain is an event. It is staring at it that turns it into an identity. The pain is an event. Your wife hurt you. It's an event. But if you keep staring at the hurt, it turns into an identity. Your husband hurts you. It's an event. So we're going to do a practical bite inventory. You know, as we started having the practical bit at the end of each point, you know. So let's do a bite inventory. So, and even though we're going to take a single one to illustrate this, for some of us, we have multiple bites in multiple places. Bite here, bite here, bite here, bite here. Like Jeremiah. He says, these are the wounds. I have wounds all over. These are the wounds that I bore from my brothers. My brothers wounded me. Write it. The bite I keep staring at is heartbreak. The person I was supposed to marry jilted me. Write it now. Could be heartbreak. You know, I mean, in counseling, there was a couple, they were married already, but the lady kept behaving funny towards the guy. You know, he's going on a work travel, and she starts acting up. It's a big quarrel. They don't know where the quarrel is from, you know. And then in counseling, it became clear that because before the guy came, she was in another relationship, and they were supposed to get married, and the person jilted her. So this guy, innocent guy, God-loving guy, got married to her, and he needs to go for a work travel to Oklahoma, and the girl started throwing a tantrum. And by the time we got to the bottom of it, it was like, oh, he's going to leave me again. I'm like, again? Has he left before? Says no, but it was the previous relationship. That bite was still there. So this guy is paying taxes. He's paying taxes of another government. He is now paying the trust tax from another relationship. So she was a problem because every time. And his work at the time takes him to different states. Every time he needs to travel, she throws a tantrum. And it's because she's feeling the bite. Oh, is he going to leave? Is he going to meet another girl? Who's going to be in his hotel? So when the guy gets to the hotel, he needs to do a video call and show her. And the girl says, stop, flip it now, flip it. Maybe she's behind you. I mean, suspect. It's a bite. Name it. Then name the lies it speaks to you. Then it could be, it tells me, in this case, my husband will leave me for a younger girl or for another girl. It tells me, what does it say? Then replace with truth. But God says, and God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. But God has said, He will keep all that concerns me, including my husband. He has said it. So we will take what the bite is, what it says, then we use what the word of God says to cancel them. For some of us, maybe it's one bite you need to do this for. Some of you, maybe it's 11 bites, different locations. But it's okay. God will bring healing as you look and live. So once the bite is named, don't build a house around it. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes. And that brings us to number two, lift. Everybody say lift. Lift your eyes. The bite is down. Stop looking down. Lift your eyes. Lift. Staring is not neutral. It's not neutral. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. The word of God says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from who? The Lord. Your help will come from the Lord. in the name of Jesus. Your help will come from the maker of the heavens and the earth in the name of Jesus, the one who made heaven and earth. Because what you keep looking at, you keep feeding. What you keep looking at, you keep feeding. You keep feeding. So your focus is fuel. Your focus is fuel. Focus puts fuel in whatever it is that you are staring at. If you stare at the bite becomes your lens for everything. For everything. For God, for people, for correction, for love, for church, for yourself. If you keep staring at the bite, you see everybody through the filter of that bite. I mean, the example we gave, the lady, the bite was a disappointed relationship, correct? And if, because she kept staring at it, everything her husband did, she saw through the filter of that bite. So he brings out flowers. And she receives the flowers. She says, why is it being so nice? What is he planning? He just brought flowers. Now, he doesn't bring flowers. Why didn't he bring flowers? He doesn't love me anymore. We see the bite becomes the lens. Even with God, you come to God, you are interpreting God through your pain. You're interpreting God through your pain. There was a time, I mean, we had Father's Day, and I was doing a teaching on God as Father, and a young man came to me after service. He was really broken. He was upset. He said everything I was saying about God as Father is upsetting him. He's really irritated. I'm like, why? But God loves him. I should tell him that God loves him. I'm like, okay, so you have come to church. What do you think you will hear? And he tells me the story of his father, of how his father would say he loves him and always disappoint him. So it's like, he's seeing even God through the filter of that bite, of that pain. He now began to serve, because inadvertently you begin to serve. The pain becomes the pet. The pain becomes what you serve. So what you stare at, inadvertently, you serve. What you stare at, you serve. If you keep staring at your loneliness, you will serve it. If you keep staring at financial situation, that's what you serve. Whatever. And God is saying to you today, look and live. Look to Jesus and live. Because your eyes are gates and your focus is filled. Your eyes are gates into your soul and your focus is filled. So let's do a eye gate audit for a practical thing. Eye gate audit. As a church, we will start fasting and praying. Fasting begins on the 16th of February. Hallelujah. Amen. Fasting begins tomorrow, Monday. And it's usually a very special time. Very renewing time, a time of renewal and rejuvenation and stuff. And we are looking forward to it. However, there are different ways of fasting. That is a food fast. You know, there are other ways of fasting. So in this eye gate audit, one fast is take a show, a feed. One scroll habit that fuels lust, anger, rage, comparison, and fast it. Turn it off. For me, back then, it used to be Prison Break. Have you guys watched Prison Break? I had the whole episode of Prison Break. I'll sit down, take by my shawarma, drink, everything, and I will binge on Prison Break. What it does for me is then was that I was going through a very difficult time. It numbs me. That's number one. But number two, it also steals my time. By the time I finish, I just sleep and I've wasted so much time. I cannot do the things I should have done to move my life forward. But I needed to cut it. Oh, Bella Chow. You guys know Bella Chow? Okay, some people know, some people don't know. Money Heist. Yeah. You know? Now, that is one series that if you have not watched, maybe you should watch. I'm not saying that you should binge on it like I would do. But the key thing is that those two things showed me something. One of the Prison Break, definitely. Then subsequently, the Money Heist, I tried to put the learnings, but I couldn't. They taught me that I have a choice. I can watch the series and waste my time, or I can walk away and be fruitful. So I have been walking away and I've been fruitful. Praise God. So what is it you need to fast? What show is it? Then don't just take it, replace it. One replacement. One daily lift practice. Okay, so I am not going to watch this 45-minute show, but I can use the 45 minutes to get into the Word of God. I can use the 45 minutes to worship. I can read scriptures out loud. I mean, I gave that exercise sometimes. Did you guys try? Very powerful. Psalm 121, read out loud. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Without you knowing, you will memorize scriptures. How many chapters of the Bible can you quote offhand? How many chapters? I'm not saying how many verses can you quote. How many chapters? How many chapters? If I tell you how many chapters I can quote, you say, well, because you're a pastor. No, I was quoting them from childhood. I was a child, I wasn't a pastor. And many times, we didn't set out to want to memorize them. No, it was just repeated. And repeated, and repeated, and repeated, and repeated. And then what happens? Your brain picks it up as children. Then you need to now put the boundary. Stop reading the same text, the screenshots, the memory, the loop. God doesn't heal you by making you stay hard at the bite. He heals you by giving you a remedy to behold Jesus, the Word. By giving you a remedy to behold. So you've lifted up your eyes and like David, you're like, okay, I've lifted up my eyes. What am I looking at? Where does my help come from? That's what it's saying. It's wanting to lift up your eyes and see nothing and look at nothing. But he's lifted up his eyes and he says, where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. So you look. God changes your gaze before it changes your life. The problem is that if people are insistent and they are like, okay, I'm not going to lose sight of this bite, you know, then you remain unhappy. One of my brothers, when we were younger, when maybe my mom, my parents have left the house, and then he upsets me, and I beat him up. This happens about 9 a.m. And he cries with mucus on his face and everything. And I go out to play soccer. I come back. This guy leaves the mucus, everything. till when my mom is coming at 6. So mom is coming at 6 and she's like, ah! Her mom is like, what happened here? And it's like, Femi beat me. I'm like, but I beat you at 9. And this is 6. And of course, you know what happens? I get into trouble. They beat me up, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, and that's how a lot of people are in life. Stuff has happened to you. You keep it. You keep marinating on it. You keep it alive. Is it because you want to have something, an evidence? You also want to have something to show? You have to have something to hold on to? Or will you look and leave? Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:2 says to us, Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. It says, because of the joy awaiting him, even Jesus himself, he had to endure the cross, disregarding the shame, now is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So Jesus himself had to endure the cross and disregard the shame because of the joy. He also had to look and live. He had to look at the glory to survive it. When the snake bites, God says, simply look and live. When the snake beats the Israelites, God didn't give them a seminar on snakes. He didn't give them a lecture on different types of venoms. He gave them an instruction. Look. And what happens to a lot of us is that we have a snake bite, then we go and research snake bites. That's okay to research. But that is all we are consumed about. Oh, did you know that there are different venoms? Okay, it's good to know. You're educating yourself. But it will never heal the bite. It won't. God didn't give them a seminar. He gave them an instruction. After you've done all your analysis, you still have to look to live. Look, not strive. Not perform and live. Not punish yourself and live. Look. Not try harder and live. Not put in your best to get rid of the bites. Look. Look, because looking at Jesus releases life into you. Hallelujah. Looking at Jesus releases life into you. It's like a miracle that cannot be explained. It releases life into you. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What we are saying is that God doesn't heal you by explaining the bites. He heals you by changing your gaze. He doesn't heal you by analyzing the pain, analyzing the bite. You can gather all the pity party people around you to lick your wounds. By the time they are done, the bite is still there, the wound is still there. You need to look and live. So you don't get free by staring at what beat you. You get free by looking at what was lifted for you. Jesus, the Son of the living God. It says, look and live. The pole in the wilderness represented the cross of Calvary. Really. Jesus was lifted not to shame you, but to save you. He was lifted to deliver you, not to drown you. And the look, says, Pastor, I should just look and I will leave? Yes. It's not magic. It's surrender. Surrender. Looking, it's like you're surrendering to him. And God comes and embraces you. Hallelujah. The practical end of things is this. Declare. Our words are so powerful. Find a space in your house where you can declare God's word. Declare God's intention for you. Declare, I will not rehearse poison. I will behold Jesus. That declaration alone, I can't tell you how powerful it is. I will not rehearse poison. I will behold Jesus. I will behold Jesus. Then do an act of obedience. Send a text. Delete the stash. Take a walk. Make the call. Because when you look, you don't just survive. You start to live. You start to live. You start to live. You really start to live. Number four, finally. So, the first is to what? Name it. Name it. The second is to what? Lift. And the third is to what? Is to look. And then the result is what? Live. Live. Beholding produces becoming. Beholding produces becoming. Transformation happens. Freedom happens. You become a strong witness. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says to us, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you've named it, you've lifted, you've looked, you will live. Because the proof of healing is new fruit. New fruit will begin to come out of your life in the name of Jesus. New direction begins to open up to you in the name of Jesus. You begin to attain new and higher heights in the mighty name of Jesus. So life happens and returns when your gaze returns. You will notice, what you will notice is that you have peace of mind again. You just notice that you have peace of mind. And you will have peace of mind in the name of Jesus. You will notice that softness has returned to your heart. You have now become soft. You are not hard. People that do life with you experience softness. They don't experience harshness and hardness. And you will notice that hunger is returning to your prayer life. You will notice. When you look and live, you will notice that you are more hungry to pray. You will notice that courage is returning to your calling. The things that you are doing, you are courageous about it. You will notice that joy is returning to your worship. Worship is not and will not be just a drag. Joy is returning to your worship. And clean boundaries to your life. So, the practical live list, if you will. One fruit target: peace, purity, patience, joy. Which is the most important for you right now that you want to see in your life? Is it peace? Is it purity? Is it patience? Is it joy? I know we all need everything, right? But which would be number one? Is it peace? Is it purity? Is it patience? Is it joy? Praise the name of the Lord. So one accountability tie, one person gets the truth weekly. So one accountability tie, find one person that helps you with the truth and you can help with the truth. And a serve outlet. Pour life into someone else. So life flows through you, not just to you. It flows through you. So as we wrap things up this morning, question is, where are you looking? Or where have you been looking? Then the next question is, will you look where God wants you to look? If you will, you will live. And I pray that you will in the name of Jesus. So you look and live. Where you look determines how you live. It determines how you live. Because staring at the bite will keep you bound. But looking at Jesus will set you free. Everything that is holding you bound will lose its grip in the name of Jesus. As you look at Jesus, everything that is holding you bound will lose its grip in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So this new series is not about ignoring reality. It's about choosing the focus. It's about choosing what you're going to focus on. Let's bow our hearts as we bow our heads. Look and live.
Hallelujah. So let's bow down our hearts and bow down our heads. Look and live. Will you look and live this day? The very first step to experiencing life is actually putting your gaze on Jesus. And you start out putting your gaze on Jesus by accepting him as the one that is indeed good to look at. The one that is worthy of keeping your gaze on. So I want to ask today, if you are here, you know that you are not looking at Jesus. You know that you are not born again. You know that you are not saved. I want to give you that opportunity to be able to put your gaze on Jesus today. And all you need to do is just lift up your hand wherever you are. Receive a card and we will pray along with you. And you will look and you will live. Because that's the promise of God. You will look and you will live. Whatever it is that life has thrown at you that is like a bite that is troubling you right now, will you look and live? Jesus is standing before you today. Raise up your hand to accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you are here, you are not born again, you are not saved. You do not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Be bold, be proud, be confident. Just lift up your hands above your head. Receive a card from the ushers and put it down. That's all you need to do. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. If you are online, the instructions are presently scrolling on the screen. Jesus is calling you today and saying, will you look? Will you live? The choice is yours. Whatever struggles that you may be going through right now, if you will keep your gaze on Jesus, the pain will cease. But you must start by looking. Are you ready to look? Let's lift up your hands and we'll pray together. Lift up your hands if you're ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Father, we want to just say thank you. Oh, we're grateful, Lord, for your word. We're grateful for your servants, Apostle Lufemi Munei. Thank you for that which he has shared with us again today. We thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. Oh, we are grateful. Father, every word that has been spoken this morning to encourage us to keep our gaze on you. Let these words, let it land on fertile grounds in our lives. Let our hearts be receptive to your word. Let your word, let it transform our lives in the name of Jesus. That we may become better and better people, even as we keep beholding you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We commit your church in your hands. Do for us that which only you can. Every pain of the bites, every pain from the bites, oh God. Every distraction from the bites. Father, take them away in the name of Jesus. Cause us to, as a group, as a people, to keep our gaze upon you and you alone. And we will live in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.